Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The azaleas are in bloom.
I was able to hit high bomb draws with my driver.
Eight-man corner is groomed and ready.
I was able to hit squeezer hot cuts.
Hello, friends.
So what we dream about is to have mind and body come together.
This is a Masters Week edition of AJ and Dusty.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number two, AJ and Dusty in the afternoon. If you missed hour number one,
I'm sorry.
AJ will root for your kid if you don't want to go to their game. Maybe. I mean, if she has enough time. We don't know.
It's possible.
Rent-A-Parent is...
No, Rent-A-Fan.
Is in development. Yeah, Rent-A-Fan.
Rent-A-Fan. I don't want the responsibility of parenting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rent-A-Fan. It's an important distinction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We had a texter that said... I get paid to yell at kids? Sign me up.
No, you have to follow the kid or the parent's wishes. You can't like yell at them. You have to yell for them.
Well, I think if you sign up on your profile as you're an aggressive yeller, I mean, then they know what they're getting.
But that's like advanced stage two of the app. We're currently just in the creative process phase. We're not ready to distinguish what kind of fan we're gonna be.
I can't wait until it morphs into a heckler where rival parents... We'll rent out a parent or an adult to heckle a kid.
No, we draw the line. This is purely supportive. You won't be using my service to find a heckler.
Little League parents? Oh, yes, they will. They will. Either that or I can see the wheel spinning in Will's brain over there. He's already in development. R&D is in the process right now. Rent a heckle.
I'm just thinking of AJ's profile picture, and it's just her, like, screaming beet red, like, veins in her face, just like, ah!
You better not!
It's like, wow, she's perfect.
You better not!
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
But then can't the parents hire you to be hard on their kid? See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, is it only they can be positive, or, like, let's say, you know, I have little Timmy, right, and I'm very disappointed in him, and I want him to know that, but I have a very... very important tea time with the boss on Saturday morning. So I'd like you to go to his soccer game. I'd like you to know how disappointed I am in him. Can I hire you to do that?
This is not to benefit parents. It's to benefit children.
Well, he will benefit from the tough love.
No. Negative.
No.
Listen, we've only... This idea is now an hour old. I reserve the right to tweak said idea before it hits the market.
Yeah, no, Will and I have reserved the right to hijack it and drive it in the side of the mountain.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you what I'm doing anymore.
I already wrote a patent email.
That's right. All right. Hey, there's one thing ducks and beavers can't agree upon. It is that they don't like the name, image, and likeness bill that is being proposed by Oregon legislators. This is according to the Oregonian. You have a public hearing scheduled for Thursday where Oregon and Oregon State, though they approve the principle of name, image, and likeness, they do not like the bill that is going to be bandied about in our Congress. Senate Bill 5, sponsored by Peter Courtney of Salem and James Manning of Eugene. Basically, it allows college athletes in the state to earn compensation for their name, image, and likeness. Duh. And to retain representation related to those opportunities so long as their agent didn't represent the school in prior 4 years. So as long as the agent didn't work for the school.
That's what I'm gathering.
All right, that works. It would not allow athletes to enter into contracts that conflict with team rules or contracts between athletes' school and third parties that pertain to when an athlete is engaged in an official team activity. So basically, like, Oregon and Oregon State are both Nike schools. Like, your quarterback can't sign a deal with Adidas, right?
Valid.
Or your starting, you know, running back or power forward can't sign a deal with a dispensary because that violates the team rules in the weed companies. So that's good. But here's where it gets a little tricky. It would require royalty payments to current members of the team from a school's merchandise and apparel deals and royalty payments plus premium to current or former members of teams whose name, image, or likeness is used. That is where the Ducks and the Beavs have a bit of a problem.
You dumb that down.
So, all right, let me do this for you. Marcus Mariota sold a lot of number 8 jerseys for the University of Oregon and Nike. So royalty payments would go to Marcus Mariota for his number.
Oh.
The Sabrina Ionescu jersey, which sold out in, what, 20 minutes?
At the most. It was insane.
That would be you'd get royalties for that jersey sale.
So let's say, like, you were, like, twice.
So all those Darkens jerseys that you sold, yep, get royalty for it.
The, like, Slick Willie Darkens that they used to have, the WD-40 jerseys.
Like, let's say you were in a video game twice. And, like, would I get a check for me being in a video game?
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, no, here's the thing. Royalties, now that is not, that's different.
That's
because
not covered in this bill, correct?
Right. That would require a group licensing agreement. That is the big hang up with, like, EA Sports, NCAA, is that that would happen if the game comes back, because that is your name, image, and likeness being used. I understand where the universities have pushback in this.
Yeah, I do too, because I think the royalty language is really vague and it's really uncertain, like, what percentage of the previous jersey sales, how far back are you going? And, you know, that's where it gets tricky. But here's where I say, I don't feel super bad for the universities or the NCAA that they find themselves in this position, because if you'd gone ahead and decided what you wanted the rules to be, agreed upon it, voted on it, and not waited until the state legislatures around the country force your hand, you would have had a chance to decide the rules. But now you're trying to halt a train that is going full speed and not slowing down. And so I'm sorry that the royalties are not like how you envisioned them. You should have come up with a better plan before the Senate did.
Yeah. And I think that what you're looking at is, like, I do agree. And royalties for current players, I think, yes, you should have that. But if we're talking like this is back pay, if we're talking like back pay for all of the previous, like, then that is way too big of a check. And I think that is where, yeah, I would totally side with Oregon and Oregon State, but that isn't really mentioned in here. It's talking in a, but if you go like, hey, we're going to sell retro, you know, Dan Fouts jerseys or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, then, yeah, Dan Fouts should get a piece of that, you know, because if you're going to sell a retro Fouts jersey, yeah, that we all know who number 14 was, you know, for the University of Oregon. Like, duh. Like, right. Let's go and he should get that money. If you're going for, like, back pay for, oh, Marcus Mariota sold 5,000 jerseys in 2014. Well, that's going to be a little bit more tricky. And then you're going back so far. Then you have LaMichael James and Ruben Drones and all those guys. Joey Harrington. But if you're talking just like a cut of jersey sales, yes, because everybody knows why they're buying that jersey. Was there any doubt, Will, when you guys were walking around campus that you were seeing Jaquizz Rodgers jerseys?
No.
No, there was no doubt whatsoever. And right. So that's what they're buying. They're buying the Jaquizz Rodgers jersey. If you put like generic 98, nobody's buying that because nobody cares. They want to get the player jersey.
Yeah, and I guess I understand why you would side with the university, but I've just lost pity for the situation that they've put themselves in. So if this ends up costing them money and it gets complicated and they have to figure it out, sorry, you had the opportunity to do that months ago, years ago. You decided not to.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that there should be some program set to give some compensation to dudes, you know, post their time being the active number. You know what I mean? Like, there should be some type of redistribution, I think, because...
What do you mean by that?
Well, think of it like this. Without Marcus Mariota, would you have had the sustained excellence and notoriety of the University of Oregon without his play? Like, really? Like, if Oregon had not have recruited Marcus Mariota...
They fell off the planet when he left.
Yeah. I mean, but think about it that way, that, like, maybe he does deserve some of the money that was made from those revenue sales. And, that's the thing with universities compared to pro programs. Like, professional football teams can bring in, can bring in fans, and they can get ad revenue from, you know, just kind of using the arm of the NFL as a promotional tool and, you know, propping up their players, and their players are able to promote themselves. So it creates this awesome circle where you're always just getting promotion. In college football, it's like, you better strike lucky with a really great player who's really charismatic that they'll catch on national TV and on Pac-12 network or whatever network. So then people catch on and they follow your university throughout the years. Like, without Marcus Mariota, without Jaquizz Rodgers, without James Rodgers, without Robert Griffin III, Baylor football isn't anything but a university, which now it is known for some horrible stuff.
Well, like, but this is where people take care of, like, the universities take care of those very special people. Vince Young gets paid $100,000 a year by the University of Texas to be a special assistant to the athletic director.
So what, you're going to hire every single player as a special assistant?
No, but not every player is the guy you're talking about.
There's a lot of them.
Well, no, you just talked about Marcus Mariota, and I mean, it is a unique player that you are talking about in that.
Well, and I think it does get complicated with the fact that Sabrina was the, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Sabrina was the first women's basketball jersey to have her name on it at Oregon, right? She was the first Nike jersey.
I don't think it was her name on it. It was just her number. It was her number. Like, it was the first women's jersey that they'd made. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then the only, you get into some equity stuff of,
for sure,
just because past great female athletes at Oregon, Oregon State, Portland State, whatever, Megan Rapinoe at UP, because they never offered her jersey for sale, she's missing out on potential post revenue. So that's where the equity of it comes in a little tricky, because that benefits a system that didn't see the value in marketing women's sports.
But if it's moving forward, they're getting that, that coin, does it change the way you feel about it? Because I mean, like, look, there's a lot of things that, like, we can't change that, right, that happen, but moving forward, if they rectify it, does that make it better and say that there will be no more, you know, whether it's Cheryl Miller or Cheryl Swoops or Sabrina Ionescu or Megan Rapinoe, whomever?
Like, do you mean if going forward they say the women's jerseys will benefit the women wearing them?
Yeah, well, just like any other athlete.
But you have to put them out there. And that's what the university hasn't even done before.
Yeah.
Until Sabrina.
Yes.
So that's where it starts getting into this tricky past name, image, and likeness, because I think that monetizes the individual person and the brand that they represent, whereas you're going to have a ton of athletes from the Olympic sports to female sports to the backup running back on the football team who never even get the opportunity to earn money off of their merchandise.
But we see that in professional sports too. That's just market demand, right? I mean, like, there's a, like, you don't see any, you don't see any, I don't even know who, you know, David Moore jerseys up in Seattle last year, right? I mean,
were they available to buy?
But because that's market demand. That's like, yeah, the Russell, people don't want that jersey. They want the Russell Wilson. They want the DK Metcalf. They want the, you know, Jamal Adams jerseys. And that, like, they do that with professional sports. Like, you can't get every Blazers jersey. You can get most of the starters now. You can walk into Moda Center and you can see them hanging up there and maybe a reserve or two. But, you know, good luck trying to find a TJ Leaf jersey rolling around, Moda.
Well, they haven't even agreed that they've signed him yet, so there's that.
503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. There's a little bit more sticking up with this because the good news is both Oregon and Oregon State, they do think current and future athletes should cash in on name, image, and likeness. Because it's a good thing they do agree on that, because the money that coaches are getting for name, image, and likeness is pretty crazy. And Sportico did a write-up on it. We'll talk about that next. AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, the state universities here in the great state of Oregon State, they do think that name, image, and likeness is something that does need to be rectified. And look, we're gonna have laws, letter of the land here in the state of Oregon that require the schools to have name, image, and likeness. What that looks like, and how it pertains to former athletes and merchandising royalties, will be interesting, and it could be a fight. One of the things that we didn't get to, but I found very, you brought up a great point about it, is the communication between the legislatures and the university seem a little off.
Yeah. Well, and that's been the frustrating part for someone who just supports this idea vehemently this whole time, is all of these parties are complaining and not communicating, right? You've got really it's the adults actually who are complaining. The kids are just like, excuse me, we're ready to get paid, and as they should. But then you're like, the NCAA is like, well, we can't yet because we don't have an overarching thing. And the schools are like, well, we can't yet because we're waiting on the NCAA. And the politicians are like, well, sorry, we're just going to do it. But oh yeah, we haven't talked to university presidents. So no one is communicating.
You should probably start there.
At all. In fact, Courtney and Manning.
Peter Courtney, Senator, state senator.
Yeah. Yes. They both said they hadn't spoken to UO President Michael Schill or Rob Mullins about the bill, but are open to these conversations. They want to pass this thing and have it start July 1st.
It's aggressive.
It's April.
Well, it's a good thing that our political system runs at such an efficient pace.
Listen.
They get things done.
I'm just saying, I feel like, again, this is why I don't think it's clear what's going to happen with royalties, both past and present and future, for athlete merchandise. But I just don't have a ton of sympathy that Oregon and Oregon State are like, oh man, well, wait, royalties, how's this going to work? Figure it out. Come up with a plan, communicate with the legislators, and get on the same page. Because right now it just comes across to me as, okay, you're doing all this lip service. We support NIL. We are passionate about our students making money off of their name, image, and likeness. And then when push comes to shove, who's doing the communicating? Who's working it out so that it benefits everybody, including the universities who would like to keep the money from their ad revenue or from their merchandise sales?
True that. You and I agree 100% on this. It's ridiculous. Especially when you read the Sportico ad that came out today by a guy named Daniel Libet. And I always take journalists who have not a picture, but a drawing of themselves, you know, like the New York Times will do. Like they have the caricature drawing of the author next to their article.
You take them more or less seriously.
More seriously.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that at the Willamette Week. And I'm like, no.
No. I did. No. I take it far more seriously.
Oh, okay.
Because you're big time enough to somebody drew your picture, bro.
We should do that for the Fan and just task other people to draw. Like I'll draw one of Dusty. No. Dusty will draw one of AJ. AJ will draw one of Isaac.
AJ, and I am so sorry. That would be so bad. I draw like a child. Anyways, but Sportico has an ad up. It's called Side Hustle.
Woo!
And you want to talk about name, image, and likeness. It breaks down what big time coaches, trainers, you know, sports performance coaches are getting paid for name, image, and likeness. Like Jim Harbaugh, who said asked this question in a Downy commercial. Do you think you can keep my khakis wrinkle free all season? For that line, he was paid $250,000. Kirby Smart is currently being paid $130,000 a year to be the endorser for a local Ford dealership. Ed Orgeron gets paid $225,000 to endorse Raising Cane's.
Very good chicken place.
Very good chicken.
By the way.
Yeah, great chicken.
Really good chicken.
Nick Saban, $350,000 a year to do corporate speaking engagements.
And for just $250, AJ McCord will come to your kid's soccer game and root that little player on.
Woo!
Here we are. Compared to the rest, I'm pretty cheap.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Well, how about a guy that is, you ask any former University of Oregon athlete, they will say Jimmy Rads is a guy that they love. Jim Radcliffe, who gets paid $12,000 a year from the Chinese National Track Association to be a consultant for them. Because, you know, he's good at what he does and he's using his name and his likeness to promote himself. It is happening across college football, the big money going to endorsements. And these, by the way, are a lot of these head coaches are already multimillionaires and they are able to cash in on the side for things like NIL.
And that's, again, the hypocrisy of it. Like, you cannot tell me that you can't figure this out. If you wanted to figure it out for athletes, you could have done it years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to. Yep. Nobody forced your hand. But in 2016, it says the NCAA decided to end their requirement of outside income disclosures so that now they just have to sort of report it every single year. And that's how, like, willy-nilly the NCAA has been with the coaches mm-hmm. and the people affiliated with the university, that they have had such an ironclad grip on the student athletes for so long. I just keep coming back to, I have no sympathy. I'm really sorry.
And especially when you have a rule, like here's a rule that the NCAA has. Athletes can be paid a normal wage for working a camp, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a couple $100 on the side you can make, right? Juwan Howard, the coach of Michigan, claimed $44,000 from the Michigan basketball camp as income.
And yet, weren't there two D3 soccer players who made a couple $100 doing a soccer video for Puma that cost them their scholarship?
That's right.
Cool.
That's right. Yeah. Penny Hardaway, Memphis's coach, $3 million in outside endorsements.
What?
Yeah.
For what? Who's paying $3 million for Penny?
I don't know. He took in $91,000 in just commercials alone. I see what you did there.
Pennies.
How many pennies is that? You're really proud of that one. That you should be. That was good.
You think Penny Hardaway still gets royalty checks for that puppet in the 90s?
Chris Rock?
No. What was that?
No, Chris Rock was the voice of Lil Penny.
Okay, Lil Penny. But Lil Penny's likeness was Lil Penny. So is Penny Hardaway collecting royalty checks for Lil Penny today?
Dude, I loved the Penny Hardaway shoes. I had them when I played. You know?
No.
You don't remember the Lil
Penny? The Penny ones? They're not. No, Lil Penny was the Chris Rock character.
Remember the quarter pennies?
The quarter pennies? The Penny ones were sweet.
Yeah, those are.
Yeah.
Those are nice.
Yeah, in the 90s. They were great. I remember rocking those at basketball practice. Like, whoa, you're definitely not good enough to have those shoes.
Oh, yeah, those are sick.
He's such a judgmental little one.
No, they were judging me for not being.
Oh, I thought that was you judging people who were wearing it.
I had them.
Oh.
I had them, and that, that's what I was told.
Mm.
Because my basketball skills were very great.
You know, in the 1990s and then early 2000s, there was a lot of risks taken with shoes. Like, you remember the Hypnos by Shaq?
Look.
It was like a Hypno thing. And then I think one of the Richardson dudes had the Bacons.
If we're going non-athletic, that was the decade that women's shoes really took a risk and put all of us like 5 inches taller in the air than we were born as. Because we had those big rocket dogs.
What's a rocket? Okay, a That's rocket dog? Called.
Yeah.
What is a rocket dog?
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Well, yeah, that's where it went.
No, they're rocket dog shoes that they were sandals, right, and they were this. They were, you can't see.
Yep,
they're like
these.
4 inches tall.
Yeah, this looks like shoes those cartoon brats would wear.
Mm. Yeah. Those were the women's shoes that were all the rage in the 90s.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was wild.
Remember those, the brats, those little dolls? That's what these are. So women wore these?
Yeah.
Why?
It's a great question. I think I only had them once because the little part that goes between your toe would always break.
Mm.
So
That's why you got to wear.
To quote the great Skilo, because they wish they were a little bit taller. They wish they were a baller.
You couldn't ball in those shoes.
Mm.
That's why you want to wear a sandal.
You're hardly walking them.
That's why you want to wear socks with your sandals.
Ah.
That's a Darkens move right there. You're so ready to be a dad, man. Move. All right. So coaches getting paid buku bucks for endorsements. Oh, my gosh. We're so surprised. Now that the numbers are out there, though, it is pretty staggering. And just think of what, you know, some of the athletes could be making. It could be money that changes them. Because, look, there's a lot of guys that have great college careers that just don't pan out in the NFL or not just good pros.
And I think I saw from like the percentage of high school athletes that become college athletes is something like 19%. Mm. The number of college athletes that go pro is around 1%.
Yeah.
So you think about how many athletes is this their window? This is it. This is when they're going to make their most money. This is when they're going, or not their most money. They're not making any money. But this is when they're going to have the most notoriety. Mm-hmm. This is when they're going to be, some of them, at the peak of the attention that they're getting collegiately. And they're not given any single opportunity to make money off of it.
Bummer, dude.
While the coaches, who are getting paid bajillions, also have a chance to make lots of pennies.
But Dabo Swinney
on the side.
The day it becomes professionalized, the day he walks away, tell that to his over $250,000 that he gets for speaking engagements.
Tell that to his family, too. Yeah. If I was a significant other and he said that, I'd be like, shut your mouth. You're going to go back and work. I've gotten used to getting millions of dollars a year.
Smoke and mirrors for the NFL draft. It's that time of the year. Jones or Fields? Here's Will. All right, what are the San Francisco 49ers doing right now? A little smoke and mirrors time of the NFL draft process coming up at the end of the month. Mac Jones appears to be the guy that the brain trust of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have targeted as their guy moving forward. But there's reports today they're going to Justin Fields' pro day part, right? And that... it's not a slam dunk done deal, but all of it appears to be Mac Jones is going to be their guy at number 3. And they're okay with taking not the first, not the second, but the third best quarterback in the NFL draft.
And that's so surprising to me for the 49ers, because you think about the NFC West and you think about the other quarterbacks. You've got Matt Stafford in LA. You've got Kyler Murray in Arizona, and you've got Russell Wilson in Seattle. You think Mac Jones is going to be the one to bring you out of that? I'm not saying he can't, but what I am saying is Alabama quarterbacks are tricky when it gets to the NFL.
Yeah.
They're not as historically, they are not as good in the NFL as they are in college.
No, because you have like a ton of talent at Alabama.
You never get tested. Mac Jones, I don't believe, has ever trailed as the starting quarterback of Alabama.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm going to fact check that, but I'm pretty sure it's true.
Sounds believable.
I saw
it kicked everyone's ass.
Yeah. I saw an interesting nugget on him that Mac Jones, like everybody's like, oh, Trey Lance doesn't have very many starts. He has the same number of starts as Mac Jones. Both those guys, Lance and Jones, like, what are you seen enough of one guy but not enough of the other? You've seen enough of Mac Jones throttling their opponents at Alabama, but with, you know, Trey Lance, he's just throttling FCS competitions. Kind of the same deal. But when your teammates are so much better than everybody else that you're playing with, you know, that's where it comes down to how good are they?
Well, and Trey Lance is at North Dakota State, right?
Yes.
So you're telling me that not as many people watch film of North Dakota State as Alabama?
Well, you mean fans? Fans, yeah.
I feel like that's the narrative, though, is like when we don't know enough about Trey. Well, how much did you watch North Dakota State?
Yeah, honestly. But you know what? You know who does do that? NFL executives and scouts. It's their job, you know?
That's true.
And that's the interesting part. But with Mac Jones, like, we've had a history. Verdict is still out on, what, Tua?
Yep.
And if you go down the list, it really, really isn't a star-studded group of quarterbacks that have come through Bama.
They've had 15 quarterbacks drafted from Alabama into the pros.
Ever?
Ever.
What about under Nick Saban, though? You go back and, like, the first guy that I can kind of think of is Brody Croyle, who was a backup in Kansas City for a while.
And actually, on my weekend show, Sinner and the Saint, we spent, like, two segments.
Saturdays.
Because we've talked about this before, and I think it was before the draft, the last draft with Tua, that we were like, has any Alabama quarterback ever amounted to anything in the league?
Willie Namath.
Dude, we couldn't find one after that.
Kenny the Snake Stabler.
He went to Alabama?
Yeah, A.J. McCarron.
A.J. McCarron didn't do anything.
Yeah, no,
I'm kidding.
Good Lord.
I'm kidding. No, but no, that is the point. If your guys are that you're looking at, Brody Croyle, A.J. McCarron, Greg McElroy. Then you have Tua. Book's still out on Tua.
Jalen.
Jalen Hurts transferred. Book's still out on Jalen Hurts. And then now you have Mac Jones. I will say in defensive of the guys before, like, I mean, Greg McElroy wasn't a highly coveted recruit. Like, he wasn't a five-star talent. No. I think he was what we looked at, a three-star guy.
Tua is their highest drafted player since Harry Gilmore when he went number one, which was the first Alabama quarterback listed.
Oh, who?
So it was a long time ago.
Who doesn't remember old Harry Gilmore?
Harry the Larry.
I don't know very many people that remember Harry Gilmore.
I was like, oh gosh.
But if you're thinking about this in these terms, though, like
Gilmore.
Sure. Yeah. See,
1948.
Memorable. Like I said, who doesn't remember? But this is where you go. I if you look at it, Joe Burrow had, there was a knock on Joe Burrow last year. It was, well, his targets and his talent are just so much better than what everybody else is working with. Of course, he's going to be record setting. Mac Jones had just as impressive of a year statistically, if you look at efficiency numbers, as Joe Burrow did.
Yep.
And Joe Burrow was incredible. And like, that's the thing that I find amazing about Mac Jones is, he's going to a place where you don't need to be like ultra mobile and get outside the pocket and run. You just need to be smart and mm-hmm. you need to be accurate, because what are the things that killed the 49ers in the Super Bowl? It was inaccuracy by Jimmy Garoppolo and, you know, not knowing when to pull the trigger and try to thread the needle and when you should. And that's like that conservative nature. And like, there's things that Nick Saban has always raved about Mac Jones. It is, he'll make the right throw.
Right. And this is if you're Mac Jones, I think this is a decent situation because they're clearly not willing to move off of Jimmy G just yet. And so if you're Mac Jones, then not a bad thing to learn behind Jimmy G, to get a chance to be in the system. I think I don't have the numbers on it, but historically it feels like the quarterbacks who are given the opportunity mm-hmm. to learn their first year consistently do better, consistently stick around longer, don't get banged up as quickly.
I heard on the Herd this morning, Greg Cosell was on, and he said something very interesting about it. Hear what Cosell had to say with the herd on Mac Jones and what this may mean for the San Francisco 49ers. Next on The Fan. All right, 503-250-1080. We're talking about Mac Jones's text. And this is the thing. It's like, this is the hard part about evaluating Alabama quarterbacks. Is this text is right on. Every Bama receiver is open by 10 yards. Every throw was the right throw. Bama never trailed in the fourth. The kid never had pressure. Three first-round receivers and the best O-line in the country. Well, remember this. Ja'Marr Chase is probably going to be the top receiver off the board this year. He played for Joe Burrow. Justin Jefferson was a receiver for Joe Burrow last year. Joe Burrow and Thaddeus Moss was a receiver on that team. Their offensive line was ridiculous. He had Clyde Edwards-Helaire in his backfield. Like, these are the same things we asked about Joe Burrow, but what did Joe Burrow do?
Right.
He was rookie of the year until negligence on the Bengals' part got him hurt.
Yeah, and I looked. The most I can find is that for one series, Mac Jones trailed against Ole Miss because they got up 7-0.
And then he just went back and was like,
and then
nah,
he went back and it was, yeah. Please, so I think that's the only time he trailed this past year at Alabama.
Here's what the interesting part I found on this whole Mac Jones, Justin Fields thing. Greg Cosell was on the herd today. And I like Cosell. Cosell was on the herd today and he said this about Kyle Shanahan and Mac Jones. Why would you take a less mobile Mac Jones over a guy like Justin Fields?
If what is being said is true, okay, if indeed that's Kyle's guy, then what he's saying is that what's more important to him, and this is debatable, is he would rather have an efficient ball distributor than a playmaker at quarterback. Because at the end of the day, that's what Mac Jones is. Mac Jones is a ball distributor and an efficient executor of a well-schemed, well-designed offense. Whereas Justin Fields, Trey Lance, they may get to that point. That's an unknown. They're not at that point right now the way that Mac Jones is, but they give you a playmaking dimension. So you have to decide, and if what's being said is true, Kyle's decided that, but you have to decide philosophically, do you need a playmaking dimension at the quarterback position in today's NFL? Do you need a quarterback to be able to make plays off script outside the structure of an offense? If the answer to that is yes, then you wouldn't be drafting Mac Jones.
I find that very interesting because we want to criticize the decision on this, but it's stylistic, right?
Like, I mean, it is, but it isn't. I feel like one is coachable and one is not.
Square peg, round hole, though. Look at the New England Patriots are a good example of this, like last year, right? Making the right choice and just getting the ball out quickly. And Cam Newton, it was a trouble to adapt. Now, his weapons were terrible in New England, and I will back Cam Newton on that. Like, his passing numbers were hideous, and he may not be great, but I mean, like, it was the system also didn't look like a good fit with Cam Newton last year. But Russell Wilson would be amazing in any system. Justin Fields would be amazing in be creative outside the pocket. Maybe our offensive line isn't great. He's going to have to run. Mac Jones is, you have a good O-line in San Francisco. Just get the ball to George Kittle or whether it's Deebo Samuel and just let the playmakers make the right decision and be accurate. Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't been that for them and he hasn't been healthy.
I don't think, and I hear this a lot with people where they always kind of take quarterbacks that are super elite, say like Russell Wilson, and they're like, throw him anywhere. He's going to succeed.
I agree with that though.
I kind of put the brakes on that and I say, it's not so much about the physical side, but what's going on upstairs. And I feel like with some quarterbacks, they're kind of resistant to whatever plan is going to come about. Now, the example that I put on this is, say, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is somebody who, when he was actually healthy and, you know, his arm wasn't falling off, you said that. You go, oh, my, throw him into anything. It doesn't matter. He went to the Broncos, and they had to completely upheave everything and go, we're giving you the playbook. Just do what you did in Indianapolis, because what they were doing at the beginning of his tenure there wasn't working. And then once they got on his page, it all started kind of flowing. And so, you know, this whole idea that, a quarterback, if he's just talented enough, can go to any place and do anything. I don't subscribe to that so much as like, if he's mentally all there and says he's going to do it and has the confidence in that, okay. But otherwise...
No, I think we're talking about different things, though, because Peyton Manning wasn't that kind of guy in my mind, because he couldn't play in any system. You're not running anywhere with Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or any guys like that. Like the mobility of Russell Wilson will play in any system, right? And he is upstairs. Russell Wilson is smart.
Wouldn't that be an advocate for Justin Fields, though, over Mac Jones?
It could be. It could be, except for the things that Nick Saban has always raved about is and what Cosell was talking about is efficiency and quick decision-making, right? Just get the ball out quick and make sure it's in the right spot. Let the accuracy and quickness of it, right?
So learn if the playbook, but hope nothing goes wrong.
Yeah, I think that's every football play ever.
Well, but the playmaking ability is you're banking on their ability to create something mm-hmm. when everything does go wrong.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's something that you will never get from Mac Jones. But
how do you know?
Because he's not that kind of athlete.
Well, he hasn't been tested that way at least.
Yeah, he's not that. You can tell he's not Justin Fields athletically. He's not Russell Wilson athletic. Like we know that. We know that, Will. You don't think...
All I'm saying is...
Like you can look at his measurables and you can go, yeah, not that.
All I'm saying is, as a guy who said Jordan Love sucks without having him go onto the field and everybody berate me about, he hasn't even stepped onto the field yet. I wouldn't make too many assumptions too quick. I would just say, hey, let's see what happens when he gets into an offense. Maybe it'll start showing.
But to me, if I'm a GM, that's why I value Justin Fields' ability to make decisions and make something happen over Mac Jones proving that, oh, yeah, I can run an efficient offense when I've never trailed and have never been in a situation that tests me.
Mac Jones did run more read options. I heard that than Justin Fields did. I read that. Like he actually, if you're talking about like design quarterback reads there, like he actually was, because they adapted and evolved the offense to a more modern offense in Alabama. So it's going to be interesting to see. Mac Jones is going to be the guy that everybody circles. And the person that should be thanking him the most for that, Zach Wilson, because he's the guy that kind of shot out of a cannon out of nowhere and all of a sudden is going to be the number two overall pick. One former Seahawk having one heck of a week, and he's bringing some good news to Seahawk fans. I mean,
question mark?
I'm Ron Burgundy. Next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.